You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north in Aria, down south to Atlanta, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review, check us out, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you check us out also at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. We have a ton of content, a ton of articles, a ton of interviews. Everything is going on with the Sports Rabbi. We're going to start off here with Maccabi Tel Aviv. They came up a little bit short against Anadolu Efes. We have Israeli women's basketball whipping the Irish national team. We also have Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Hapoel Holon, and the rest of the Israeli basketball news with the Sports Rabbi and Ben Past. How you doing today, Ben? What's going on, baby?
Josh, great to be here. Not so positive from a Maccabi sense, though.
I sound so up. I sound so good. But, like, Maccabi got whitewashed in the fourth quarter on one hand. On the other hand, I'm really proud of the Israeli women winning a game. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Israeli women won such an important basketball game, which is wonderful. And of course, the fact that they beat Ireland was also a little cherry on the top. But let's start with Maccabi Tel Aviv, because I know that our listeners want to hear how Maccabi Tel Aviv did, and they did not do too well. Falling to Anadolu Efes 105-91, a game that was not played in Turkey due to the security and political situation between the two countries. It was held in the Riga Arena in Latvia. The game was tight from the get-go, the first three quarters within one or two points. Maccabi Tel Aviv was getting great results from Wade Baldwin. Antonius Cleveland was spectacular. And the Sports Rabbi feels very good about that because he wrote a huge article about Antonius Cleveland this week. And it will also be in the Jerusalem Post on Friday, so you want to check that out. Bonzi Colson with a good game. Maccabi clicking on all cylinders. Efes, of course, Shane Larkin. You know, he sees the Maccabi yellow and blue. He knows how to hit. Rodrigue Beaubois, he also sees the Maccabi colors, and he knows how to score his points as well. But really, who is the X factor in this game? And they always do this, Maccabi Tel Aviv. They always find a player that nobody knows much about to decide they're going to make that guy into the star of the show. And that's what they did to Erkan Osmani. 13 points in 19 minutes. 1-for-1 from 3, 4-for-5 from 2. 7 rebounds. And to me, and as good as Larkin and Beaubois were, Erkan Osmani was the difference maker. Fourth quarter, he hit some huge baskets to get them rolling. Fourth quarter, a disaster for Maccabi. They get outscored 28-16. They can't hold on to the point differential advantage that they had from the first game against them. The bottom line is, Maccabi, not a good game for them, other than Baldwin, Cleveland, and Colson. 11 points from Nebo, 11 points from Rivera, who was actually very good. Di Bartolomeo, 10 points, and then after that, disaster zone. Tamir Blatt, awful, 3 points. Jake Cohen did not play. Roman Sorkin, 2 points in 17 minutes. Rafi Menko, a non-factor in 6 minutes. 4 points for James Webb. Ben, Maccabi drops to 13-13. They're at 500. They have 8 games left. Now, Maccabi, this is a game that they should have won. I don't care where they were playing it. Efes is not the team that won back-to-back EuroLeague titles, or that could have won a three-peat had it not been COVID. This is definitely nowhere near the same team. They're using a coach that is an interim coach right now. And Maccabi can't play any defense. They give up another 105 points. How many times are you going to give up over 100 points and expect you're going to win the game? I mean, Ben, You gotta play a little defense, a little bit.
But that's really, it's been the story of the season for Maccabi. Like, it can't, nothing to do with, you know, the war and how difficult it is, etc. Like, They've got the offense. Like, it's not the necessarily the best offense in the league. Baldwin's been great. A little outburst aside, but Maccabi's defense is just it's not up to the right level. I mean, look at the last the last time they held a team to under 80 points was back at the end of December last year. They haven't held a team to under 80 points this year. Sorry, I lied. Virtus was scored 78 points, and that was a pretty good game. But other than that, they just haven't really looked that good.
You know, we should mention Lorenzo Brown did not play right before the game. He was listed as out. I don't even know if he made the trip. I did not see him there near the bench area. He has a back issue, which we knew about. Maccabi signed Joe Thomas in this week. He was also not there. So that was clear that Maccabi, and I wrote about this today. I wrote, was Joe Thomas in the right pickup for Maccabi? Really, they needed a four, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. They needed a stretch four. But it was clear that when you're signing Joe Thomason, the reason is because Lorenzo Brown is really hurt, and he's really hurt. So this is not good. I don't know what Maccabi's Telefisa going to do with their defense. And by the way, Oded Kataj afterwards in the press conference, I don't want to hear about the schedule. I don't want to hear about how many games they have, how many games they have coming up. They have four league games now coming up this coming week. They play Hapoel Tel Aviv on Sunday night. They play at Maccabi Ramat Gan on Tuesday night. Friday afternoon, they play in Jerusalem in the Classico. And then Sunday night, I believe they play Galil Elyon. Now, they're talking all about the schedule. That's going to be the narrative now. I don't want to hear about the schedule. You know what? You knew you were pushing off these games. So you knew you were going to have a ton of games coming up. You should have made sure you had players in place. Now, Omer Meyer should have been playing 20-plus minutes in every Israeli game over the last couple of weeks. Sorry to say it. Jake Cohen, I guess he was being saved. He didn't play a minute tonight, so he's being saved for the Israeli games. But, I mean, like, really? I mean, you're Maccabi Tel Aviv. Figure it out. You've got to – I mean, Ben, Maccabi Tel Aviv, if you're Maccabi Tel Aviv, don't you think you should figure it out? Like you said, are they going to walk away with any piece of hardware this year?
That's a good question. You mentioned the games coming up this week. The easiest game there is Galil Elyon, but look at the other games. You got Hapoel Tel Aviv. It is Yad Eliyahu, but they look like a much better team right now. They're playing as a team. They've got players who have come back from injury, and they've managed to ride that storm of injuries and finish in second place in their Eurocup group. You got Ramat Gan, who aren't playing in Europe. It's going to be difficult for them at Yad Eliyahu, but they're not a bad side. They play aggressive, and like people always say, Maccabi's a team that every other team wants to beat. And I think that they've got a good chance against Maccabi coming up. And then Jerusalem has been a bogey team for Maccabi for a couple of years now. And you've got Galil Elyon, which is you think Maccabi should win this game. I mean, you talk about the tough travel and everything. Galil Elyon's a team that every week they're traveling to a different place in the country because of the rockets that are being fired to the up north. So it's that game they should win, but I would not be surprised if they go 1-3 during this week. I would not be surprised at all. And they're not playing with that intensity that you want them to be playing with. We saw in Cologne last week, Bonsi getting all worked up and getting the crowd, et cetera, behind him. But we messaged earlier today, and you sound a little more optimistic than me, but I'm not feeling great about Maccabi right now. It is February. We were talking in a similar way last year around the same time of the season, and they won, seven of the last eight games to get into fifth spot in the EuroLeague, ended up winning the Israeli league, but this is a different season, and I'm not feeling great about the rest of the season, to be honest.
No, you look at Hapoel Tel Aviv, and they made the plays that they had to make. Ben, let's move on from Maccabi Tel Aviv to the Israel women's national team, and then we'll let's talk Hapoel Tel Aviv for a minute. because we did start with that for a second. Bottom line, Hapoel Tel Aviv, they are a team that wants to win their international competition and the Israeli League, and eventually when they have the State Cup. They defeat Besiktas 94-73. Alfrey and I, management there, they have no problem signing player after player after player, and that's a credit to them, because you have an injured player, you bring in Will Cummings. You have another injured player, you bring in Des Wells. You're not sure what Brian Angulo's status is going to be. No problem. We'll figure it out. And they now clinch second spot in Division A of the Euro Cup. With second spot, they advance directly to the quarterfinals. They'll play the winner of the Gran Canaria Besiktas game. Gran Canaria will probably win that. I can't see Besiktas winning under any type of circumstance. Besiktas is not a very good team. We saw that last night. And again, you have guys that are just scoring in loads, and the Israelis also play a big factor. Will Cummings, 16 points? Well, Tomer Ginat has 16 points. 12 points for Kyle Alexander, 12 points for Brian for Bar Timor. You have 9 points from Jalen Horde, and you have 7 points from Yedan Zalmanson. The numbers just, you're getting, not only do you have a ton of foreigners that you're playing, but your Israelis are playing extremely well. And right now, they're the best team, and it's going to be very interesting to see them play on Sunday night against Maccabi Tel Aviv, Ben.
I can't wait for it. Yad Eliyahu has not been full or close to full since October 5,
right?
The Partizan game. There have been, what, 3 games there, and Maccabi's gone 1-2. The win coming against Eli, which wasn't a convincing win the other day. But it should be closer to a full crowd. 7:30, I believe, on Sunday night. But Hapoel Tel Aviv is going to come in, and it's been a long time since one of the Tel Aviv teams has won an away game in a derby. But I think the last time it wasn't actually an away game, but Hapoel won the State Cup semi-final a couple of years ago at Yad Eliyahu. And that was a little different because it was not a Maccabi home game, but still, it's I can see Hapoel Tel Aviv coming in. In the last quarter, they came back to beat Maccabi in the first game this season between the teams at the drive-in. I would not be surprised if they come out and win the game, but also do it in, I don't want to say convincing fashion, but they are the form team in Israel at the moment.
Yeah, without a question. Let's shift gears, Ben, to the women. And give them the respect that they deserve, because they pounded, pummeled, cruised by Ireland, 87-57. They did everything right in this game. They were fantastic. They were terrific. You know, listen, I don't think Ireland is known for their basketball. The game started on a disappointing note where the Irish women refused to stand face-to-face with Israel during the national anthems. They refused to shake hands or exchange gifts. It was not very pleasant. It was very disappointing, to say the least. But Israel made them pay very quickly in the game. And when you have a player like Alyssa Barron, who was just... she had 15 points. I think she was the MVP. I think she set the tone early, hitting her threes. Eden Rotberg was great. She hit her shots. Eden Zippel showed a ton of maturity with 17 points against that time, and Belgium really helped her out. And then you get Doris Saar in the fourth quarter knocking down 4 3-pointers, which is what she does. They were ruthless. They were extremely well-coached and well-motivated in this game. Daniel Raber, who was the only big, and she's not even that big, she's about my height, if that. She was the center. Now, against Ireland, you can get away with that. I don't know how they're going to get away with that against Latvia. I don't think the Latvia is a great team, and they play them on Sunday, but yet they definitely have some size on the Israel team. But listen, this is the first time that Israel's won a competitive game in a very, very long time, Ben, and an important game to boot.
I can't remember. I probably wouldn't have even been following basketball so closely the last time they won such an important game. Now, maybe that's an exaggeration, but who knows? And we spoke about the Hapoel Tel Aviv playing as a team and everything, and the way I say this Israeli team, they play together for, you know, in the Israeli league, especially now they've been playing together more because of the lack of foreigners who only started to play a couple of weeks ago in the Israeli league. Seeing them together as well, like I was at the press conference the beginning of the week, and they just all seem to get along together, and that off the court translates to on the court. They support each other. They, given the Irish aren't the best opponents, then the Israeli team lacks height, but what they lack in height, they make up for with the heart. You know, it's a bit of a cliche, but you know, they fight for the ball. They play very well, and I think it's not going to be the same story on Sunday night against Latvia. Latvia is a higher ranked team. It's a home game for Latvia in Latvia, so they may have the support there, which wasn't there for either team really, especially not the Irish in the game tonight. But credit to them, they came out, they knew what they had to do, they didn't get flustered by all the off court dramas. They went in and they played well. They didn't take the foot off the pedal. The Irish didn't let them go fully, but it still was a very convincing win, 30 points. And it was great seeing, you mentioned the names earlier, but players like Dorsara came on and had 12 points. She's had 4 of 6 from three. And the leaders of the team, really, Rotberg, Alyssa Barron, Raber, Jenny Sims as well, who's relatively new to the team. She's only been with the team for about a year or a little less maybe. But they're leading from the front and they're playing together as a team, and it's mm-hmm. it's good to see. And I hope that they can continue. The first national team playing in basketball since October 7th. So that was also great to see. And for me, it's a shame that it's not here in Israel, of course, but I guess it's great sitting on the couch with my five-year-old and her face lights up seeing the girls play. She loves watching them play more than any of the men's games that are on TV, and seeing them play with pride and play like when we spoke to Jenny Sims and Alyssa Barron earlier this week, to have the name Israel on the jersey and the flag, play for that. And it's just something which is inspiring for a lot of people, especially during this tough time.
Yeah, no question. Very proud of the Israeli women. Hopefully they can pull off another victory on Sunday. If they can, they'll be 2-0, and they'll be at the top of the group, which includes also France, which is one of the, of course, powerhouses of European basketball in the women's game and, of course, the men's game as well. Of course, we're here, Ben Pass, Sports Rabbi, wrapping up the Israeli basketball scene. Let's move over to basketball Champions League action, Ben, shall we? Paul Jerusalem, 85-61 winners over Tenerife. Jerusalem were excellent in this game. 21 points for Levi Randolph, 17 Brinton Lamar, 14 Chris Johnson, none from Kadeem Carrington, which is interesting. Good win against the Tenerife team that they dominated. 29 points for Kyle Guy, and that was about it. Tenerife was not there. They were not happy with the referee's calling of the game. I understand that. If you look at the foul totals, you'll see that Tenerife had 27 fouls, and Jerusalem only had 19 fouls, none of them to Orr Cornelius, who in the press conference was singled out as being, the MVP, and how he stopped Marcelino Huertas. And the fact that they didn't call any fouls on him was a sticking point, and rightfully so. I watched the game, and the referees were very kind to Orr Cornelius. Not that Orr Cornelius is not a good player, he is, but they were very kind to him. They didn't show the respect that they normally would to a player that played for the Los Angeles Lakers once upon a time in Marcelino Huertas. But listen, Jerusalem played aggressive. They played tough basketball. The referees let them play that. Chusevia Doretta was not happy about that, and he made it very clear in his press conference with Huertas that they were not happy with the way that it was called, and there's very little consistency with the referees. And he says there's always one game a year like this, and I'll say this, they're going to have to go play in the Canary Islands. I don't see any situation where Jerusalem wins that game. I mean, Tenerife is going to be rolling on that game, Ben, to make sure that they win. Now, the issue is that the difference is so great. They have 24 points. I can't see Tenerife winning by 24 or 25 points or more in a game, but I definitely see them winning in the game.
Yeah, Jerusalem, the defensive player of the year in the Israeli league, or Cornelius, will not let them get that larger win. And they've set themselves up now for, they've got a month's break now until just about a month until the next set of games, but they're 3-0 in the group, 3 more games to come. They've put themselves in a good position.
They put themselves in a very good position, and they deserve it. I mean, to be able to go 3-0, just like Hapoel Tel Aviv, to really go 13-5, only playing one game at home in essence is just really incredible. And credit to Elias Kanzouras, who doesn't look like he's changed up much. I mean, he's changed up some things, but there are definitely some concerns still. I mean, Zussman 1 point in 19 minutes, only took one shot the whole game. That's really low. Zach Hankins only 7 points in the paint. Tchatchashvili with a pair. Bose Blazer only played a minute and a half. But Ja'Cory Williams has been looking terrific. And Brinton Lamar is a Kansouras player, by the way. He played with him under AEK last season, so he knows what he can do. There's a certain amount of trust. I can tell you that Brinton Lamar was probably not one of Alexander Jikic's favorite players. I think he liked him as a person and, was okay with him. But maybe not the player that he exactly wanted. But for the way that Kansouras plays and his style, Brinton Lamar fits like a glove. And Jerusalem wins that game 85-61. Now, on the other side of Paul Cholon, they fall to Prometheus 74-65. They played a tough first quarter where they're winning 27-25. First half, 27-25. And first quarter could have been 27-25, but that was actually the score at the half. Justin Smith was injured in the Maccabi Tel Aviv game. When you lose your best player, your energizer bunny, and your big man, you're really your only solid player because Han van Wijgen has not played well. You're in trouble, and they were in trouble in that second half, and they lost. Credit, though, has to go to them when they can sign a player like Kevin Hervé less than 24 hours after the loss and shock everybody. There's no rumor. Nothing comes out. All of a sudden, he was basically thrown out of Reggio Emilia. There were some issues with the management, coach, whatever it was. He didn't play in the second half of a game. He fell out of favor there, whatever the reasoning was. And then to quickly be signed by Paul Cologne is a deft move, an extremely good move, fast move. They answered an issue that they had to take care of. And they got a really high-quality player that has won the Euro Cup, has played in the Euro League, is young, has massive upside. He should fit like a glove with this team. I'm sure he'll enjoy the fans for Paul Cologne. I'm excited to see him play. His style of play would have been perfect for a team like Maccabi Tel Aviv, style-wise, that is. And Trey Tompkins, who signed with Red Star Belgrade, would have also been a perfect fit as a stretch four with Maccabi Tel Aviv. But Kola Kavod, you got to give them tons of credit, Paul Cologne, for making that move, Ben.
Yeah, other teams, comparing to Maccabi, other teams have been making some good signings throughout the season in a very challenging season. They need to do it with, I didn't even notice of it when Smith was injured. He had a great game on Saturday night. He scored, I think, 20-something points, and it's a huge loss for Cologne, but they are doing what they need to get a replacement in and to make sure that they keep striving forward and moving forward, because they are in the BCL. They are one of the top Israeli teams in Israel as well. And they've got high hopes. You can tell they've got the belief within themselves to do something in Israel as well. And it's a credit to the teams and the management that they're making the moves and doing what they need to do and not sort of wasting any time about it either. And yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. They're similar to Jerusalem, obviously. They've got about nearly a month off now in Europe, but they've got some games, winnable games, obviously, against Herzliya. Not that it'll be easy, but for them, Herzliya away and Haifa away coming up. But then, interesting one in a couple of week and a half, they're going to have Hapoel Tel Aviv at home. And it's going to be another test like Maccabi was to show where they really are compared to the other teams in Israel. So I think it's upsetting the Smith's injury, but yeah, lots to look forward to, I think, for Holon fans.
Yeah, no question about that. I really think it's a great move. We'll see what happens. It's on paper, it's always great, but we have to see how things play out in real life on the court, Ben. That is with everything. Now, other types of things that have been floating around the Israeli league, I'm going to throw out some things from my piece that I wrote this week. Hapoel Eilat signed Yurcha Golomach, who once played for Hapoel Jerusalem back in 2006-07. He was last coached Sidivita Olympia. He was there for three seasons. Kiryat Ata is 9-6. Ben Saraf is injured. We'll see if he's going to go to the NBA Basketball Without Borders. Herzliya, they defeated Nes Ziona this evening. And again, Herzliya is starting to look very good. I know that they lost, by 1 point to Hapoel Afula, but they are starting to look like a team. Afula put up a nice win. That was the first win they had since January 8th. Nes Ziona seems to be a team in trouble right now. And Isaiah Whitehead has started to score, but as he has started to score, the team has started to lose. So I don't know if there's a correlation between that, but it should be interesting to look at. And that is really the main stories out of the Israeli league. You want to add anything to that before we look at the schedule coming up, Ben?
Nah, let's look at it. I'm always excited to see what's coming up.
All right, Friday afternoon, Galil Elyon and Maccabi Ramat Gan up in a game played in Sfat. Safed, Saturday night, Hapoel Haifa hosts Hapoel Jerusalem. Sunday, a trio of games. Afula hosts Be'er Sheva. Bnei Herzliya hosts Holon, and Maccabi Tel Aviv hosts Hapoel Tel Aviv. Now, why they decide to put those games on the same night together, I don't really know. I think it would have been a little bit better if they would have spread the games out a little bit between the Holon and the Maccabi games, but I guess they, whatever it is, that's the way it is. On Monday, Hapoel Eilat hosts Kiryat Ata. Jerusalem welcomes Nes Ziona. Tuesday, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Ramat Gan. Wednesday, Haifa, Holon. Wednesday, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Afula. Wednesday, Herzliya, Hapoel Be'er Sheva. Friday afternoon, matinee, the arena, Jerusalem against Maccabi Tel Aviv. And then Saturday night, a great game, Holon and Hapoel Tel Aviv, as well as Ramat Gan, Nes Ziona. And then on Sunday, before the break, finally, you have Maccabi Tel Aviv, Galil Elyon, Hapoel Afula, Hapoel Haifa, Herzliya, and Eilat. Lots of games coming up, Ben. Lots of good basketball.
How good is it?
Excuse me.
How good is it? I'm excited. Derby. I'm excited to hopefully see a couple of Ramat Gan games next week as well. It's a lot going on. And it's as difficult times as these are, it's good to have the basketball to focus on as well and to distract us from
things happen. Distractions are always good. There's a question. Ben, where can people reach out to you?
Can reach out to me on Instagram and Twitter at BPASK85.
Me, of course, at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Make sure you check us out all over the place. Subscribe to us. We have we have scores, we have articles, we have interviews, both in English and Hebrew. Hebrew side, managed by Moshe Halachman, is doing some great stuff. lots of articles over there. And of course, latest in soccer news we have also. That's about it. I want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom from the land of Israel and the holy city of Jerusalem.